Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. Since the fourth week of Easter, we have been hearing our Lord's perfect teaching to his apostles on Maundy Thursday, the night of his betrayal. Over these 4 weeks, we have heard both of the sufferings that will come upon his Christians after his ascension, but also the joy that his Christians will have now and forevermore. At first, these two things may seem incompatible with each other. Who can have joy in persecution? Who can rejoice in suffering? Only those who have the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we have also heard over the last few weeks. Though it's next Sunday that we will celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, still our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us much about the third person of the Holy Trinity during this season of Easter. As we confessed moments ago in the Nicene Creed, he is called the Lord and Giver of Life. But in our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives him another name and another work. Jesus calls him the Helper. And indeed he is. But that Greek word, which is translated helper in our English translations, is richer. It means more than simply one who gives aid or help. It also means comforter, one who consoles. And so the Holy Spirit, who is our helper and our comforter, is also said by Jesus to bear witness to him. This is his work. And so as our helper, as our comforter, as the one who bears witness to Christ, the Holy Spirit alone is able to bring us true joy. Yes, even in the midst of our sufferings. And suffer we do. The world, Jesus says in our gospel today, will cause you to suffer. It will accuse you of evil. And it will think by making you suffer that it is doing good. We've experienced this more and more in recent years, at least here in the United States. We're called all kinds of nasty names, a bigot, a homophobe, a misogynist, for holding to God's law, which forbids fornication and homosexuality and murder of any kind, including that of the unborn and the aged. We're called intolerant, arrogant, unloving, for confessing that Jesus Christ alone is Lord and that no one can enter into heaven except through him. You are called ignorant and backwards for believing in things like miracles, let alone that God created all that exists in 6 days out of nothing by his word. And nowadays, you're called foolish, reckless, for daring to come to church and worship together. You're accused of having no heart, putting your neighbors at risk. And when the world does this, when the world accuses you of being evil for doing what God says is good, it's only natural that your conscience, which is informed by God's word, but it is still imperfect. And so it's only natural that that conscience will become weak and even begin to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Maybe I should be more tolerant. Maybe I should be more open-minded. Maybe I should get with the times. Maybe it's not worth attending church. But when the world accuses you, and when your own conscience falters, Christ promises you today that you will have help. When all other earthly helpers fail, Jesus promises to send you the Holy Spirit as your helper. And he comes to you through the living and active word of God, a word that is powerful to assure your heart and to strengthen you in the confession of the truth. Yes, when the world assails you, when your conscience wavers, have faith. Do not despair. Do not worry about the judgment of this world or even the judgment of your own thoughts. Rather, consider the judgment of God's word, which is never wrong. Now, as we think about help and helpers, there are two kinds. The first, which most people naturally think of, is a worldly help. This worldly help directs the one who is in need to things like money, entertainment, material goods, fame, honor, power, the sympathy of those who are in high places. These things may seem to provide help, at least for a little while, but this help cannot last. It is based on things that are fleeting and even now fading away. These things help, yes, for a moment, but then poverty, shame, illness, or weakness comes along, and then all earthly help is lost. But this is not the help that Christ has promised to you. Don't be troubled if you don't have this kind of help. You have a helper who is far better, far stronger, far more permanent than that, the Holy Spirit. And he will help you even when the world persecutes you. This helper does not fail. When you have sorrow and affliction, that is when the Holy Spirit sends you his perfect aid. He is not like the helpers of this world, which are partial or temporary. The Holy Spirit is genuine and eternal. He never lies, he never deceives. But here arises another dilemma. Christ promises that the Holy Spirit will be your helper. But it's true, we don't always feel the help that he offers. In fact, it sometimes feels like the exact opposite. We see the world experience joy and peace. We see the world find help in those things in which it trusts, money, power, and so forth. In contrast, we see Christians suffer. Consider John the Baptist, for example. He lost his head, all while Herod and his wife and his daughter-in-law were feasting and having a good time. Christians today don't have it any better. The world sees it fit to trouble Christians in both small and large ways, from mockery and ridicule to lawsuits and vandalism, to violence and death. Meanwhile, those who reject Christ seem to have nothing but good and quiet days, prospering greatly. For this reason, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit your comforter as well. Sure, the world also has its comfort. That's why it appears so secure, so comfortable. But theirs is not a comfort that comes from the truth. It's counterfeit. Eventually, it becomes clear that what the world finds comfortable is no comfort in any kind of lasting way. In contrast, the comforter whom we Christians have is the eternal Spirit of truth. As John the Baptist sat in prison, as John the Baptist was being beheaded, there was no comfort to be found for him in worldly things, certainly not. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comforted John. He reminded him that while the world even brought his death, he was nevertheless God's own child. And thus, as Jesus promised, John's suffering was but for a little while, and it was followed by eternal joy in heaven. And so it is with you. There will come a time when any and every worldly comfort will fail. No matter what it is, there will come a point in which it comforts no longer. But as a Christian, you will have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, sure and eternal, with a promise of an unending reward to be granted in heaven, a promise that comforts you even now during your trials. In what way, then, does the Holy Spirit help and comfort us in the midst of so much suffering? Jesus says, "He will bear witness about me." No, the Holy Spirit doesn't promise to give you riches and honor like the world might, but the Holy Spirit does witness about Jesus. And this witness is what strengthens you to say, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won, the kingdom ours remaineth." For Christ, who for your sake became man, who died and rose again for your salvation, has ascended into the right hand of the Father, as we confess in the Creed. If this is true, and this is most certainly true, of what should you be afraid? Truly God's Son, our dear Lord, suffered for you, and therefore he is not set against you. He loves you perfectly. The Apostle John writes, perfect love casts out fear. If God's Son loves you, if indeed he himself is for you, then you have no reason to fear any sufferings in this life, no matter what the world might try to do to you. He is your help, your comfort. As Jesus says quite clearly, the Holy Spirit will bear witness about me, about no one else and nothing else except Jesus. If the Holy Spirit bears witness about someone or something else, you will find no sure or lasting comfort. If you are to have any help in this life, if you are to find any comfort here and now, it can only come through the witness of the Holy Spirit, that is, through the witness of Jesus' death and resurrection for you. All other witnesses of the law, good works, prosperity, or ease cannot help you, cannot comfort you. In fact, it does the opposite. It leaves you uncertain, in despair, frightened, tormented. But this witness of the Holy Spirit, the word of Christ crucified, helps you in every trial and brings comfort to troubled hearts. Therefore, hold fast to this witness. Believe in Jesus Christ who died for you, for the Holy Spirit, who is called your helper and your comforter, bears witness about no one except Jesus, in order to strengthen you and to comfort you and all Christians. Cling to him and to no other, for his witness shall not fail. But why does Jesus use this word, witness? He doesn't say that the Holy Spirit will speak about me or talk about me. He says he will bear witness about me. Furthermore, he then combines the witness of the Holy Spirit with the witness of the apostles when he says to them, you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. By using this word witness, and by linking the witness of the Holy Spirit with that of the apostles, Jesus wants us to pay all the more attention to his word, that which was written by the apostles, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, as the means by which the Holy Spirit helps and comforts you. As we celebrated on Thursday, Christ has ascended into heaven. Therefore, he is no longer bodily before your eyes as he was with the disciples. Cannot see him, or touch him, or feel him. But you do have the witness of those who were with him from the beginning, who did see him, who did hear him, who did touch him. And through this written word, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you that Christ died for you in order to conquer sin, death, and hell for you. Now, it's true that this work of the Holy Spirit is accomplished within, in your heart. It's in your heart that the Holy Spirit helps and comforts. It's in your heart that he creates and sustains your faith. There he strengthens you to live a godly life. However, this inner work is accomplished through the external word. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Holy Spirit's inward witness does not happen in you unless the external, spoken, written witness of the word is heard by you, which declares that Jesus Christ became man, was crucified, died, and rose again for your sake. That's why Christ calls the Holy Spirit a witness and links his witness to that of the apostles. Not because the Holy Spirit witnesses secretly, privately, personally in your heart, but because he witnesses outwardly, publicly, through the written word of the apostles, which is preached to you to this day. If you're looking for true help and comfort, don't wait until the Holy Spirit in glory should speak to you in an individual way from heaven in some vision, dream, or inner movement in your heart. For the Holy Spirit carries out his work publicly as he witnesses in the word. That is where you should seek him. So over and against those who should preach false help and comfort, this fact stands sure. When the Holy Spirit helps and comforts you, he does so in no other way than as the witness of Jesus. He speaks through the word to your hearts. Take your eyes off of all that would trouble you, the sufferings experienced in and caused by the world, and instead hear the Son of God, Jesus Christ, of whom it is written, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven. All of this happened and was recorded so that you might have help and comfort against death and sin. What reason, therefore, do you have to doubt, to be afraid? If Christ was not with you, if he had not done these things for you, if he had sent you no helper or comforter, then yes, you'd have very good reason to be afraid. But Christ is with you. He promises, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And he has promised to send you the helper, the comforter. As Jesus Christ suffered death for you, for your help and comfort, he is risen and seated now at the right hand of his heavenly Father. He has sent the Holy Spirit to you through the word, and he will dwell with you forevermore. And so wherever this word, the witness of the apostles, that is, the witness of the Holy Spirit, is proclaimed, there the Holy Spirit is active. Therefore, may God preserve us and keep us now and always in this witness, the witness of the Holy Spirit, who is and ever shall be our only true helper and comforter. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Please stand.